Let's come and have a look at the scenery in the site.
Yeah, man, this is beautiful, man.
Very beautiful.
I personally feel it hasn't been just. It's going to put me back quite a long ways. I won't have sufficient funds to buy another farm. I'm not a prophet, I can't prophesize, but it's only in the future that we will see whether this process is a successful process or is it a wrong process, where we're undoing wrongs in the past by repeating the wrongs in the future.
A scene from Promised Land, which is airing on POV. Yoruba Richen, why did you initially get interested in South Africa?
Well, I had had a long-standing interest in South Africa since I was a kid in the 80s. I followed the freedom struggle there. One of my first jobs in media was interning at South Africa Now, the program that was bringing news from South Africa during its state of emergency. And when Mandela was released, we walked from, you know, our home in Harlem to Yankee Stadium to see him with my whole neighborhood. And I think obviously for so many people, the struggle was, the freedom struggle was inspiring and was our struggle, you know, and especially for African Americans here in the U.S. So it was just a country that I'd always been fascinated by and wanted to go and follow the developments. And as I said, when I started seeing reports in 2003 about that the land issue that the whites still own, this was 10 years after the end of apartheid, owned the majority of the land, and that the inequity had, you know, barely shifted, I became very interested, because we hadn't heard that. You know, we knew that the political struggle was won, but it's always the economic struggle, right, that is the challenge.
And is the ticking time bomb, really.
Exactly. And is the basis of so, and I also was interested in it because land is such the issue in so many countries, in so many post-colonial societies. That seems to be where the, you know, where this intractable problem lies.
And we can bring it right through to today. The World Cup is in South Africa. The world is looking at South Africa, but there's a part of South Africa they don't see.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the when they were building these stadiums for the Cup, which obviously is a huge honor for South Africa to have, and they're, you know, thrilled to have it in many ways. But the landless, the landless who live in the shanty towns, who don't have, you know, who don't have their own piece of land, who don't have houses. There were many removals that went on through the country to build these stadiums, and this time the removals were of a black government, you know, to its people. So again, it just showed that this problem still persists. This problem is at the basis of so many of the economic inequalities that are still there.
Let's go to a last scene from Yoruba Richen's film Promised Land.
We are Africans. We don't say they are not Africans. We don't say whites are not African. But we must be seen running these countries. We must be seen developing this country. Mandela is old. Mandela did his work, sacrificing for 27 years in jail. He was there for us. So we can't expect the old man to do everything for us. He said, now, claim. And we have to make sure that we make his dream come true.
An excerpt of Promised Land by Yoruba Richen, and it's a great honor to have had you here in our new studios, Yoruba, since I really think of you as having helped build them, having been a part of the Democracy Now! Family.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. It's great to be here.
I look forward to seeing this on POV. Promised Land airs on POV on PBS tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yoruba Richen, former Democracy Now! Producer, is the filmmaker who made the film. And finally, Juan Manuel Garcia Pasalacqua has died at the age of 73. He was a well-known Puerto Rican attorney, political analyst, historian. After his death on Friday, the Puerto Rican governor, Luis Fortuño, declared 3 days of mourning. Today, we go back to a conversation we had with Pasalacqua just after Sonia Sotomayor was made Supreme Court Justice.
My hair stands because I have been, as you know, attentive to the relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States for years, 50 years to be exact, and I never expected that the diaspora would produce the first Hispanic Puerto Rican judge in the Supreme Court of the United States. What to me is the crucial element of what we are today celebrating is that for the first time the census issued last summer said that there were more Puerto Ricans in the United States than in Puerto Rico. Now, the diaspora has produced a Supreme Court judge of the United States of America. And now, a bill has been filed in Congress by 90 members of the House of Representatives, finally solving the relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States and providing the opportunity of rejecting colonialism in the ballot next year. So, I must confess that it is one of those days, in one of those years, in which the whole relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States is being transformed before our own eyes.
That was Juan Manuel Garcia Pasalacqua. He died at the age of 73 on Friday. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
No. Thank you, Amy. It's 6 o'clock, and that was Democracy Now! This is WUSB Stony Brook. And now, it's time for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. lot of drama here tonight in the studio. We're told that a machine is going to fail at the 6:54 mark, and it's at the 6:40 mark right now. So we basically have 10 seconds counting down, waiting to see if the machine will fail. And if it doesn't fail, we're going to continue with the show. If it does fail, we'll have to go into diagnostic mode. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And we're okay. We're okay. All right, we passed it, and it's fine. The machine did not fail. Not at that number, anyway. Okay, good. Well, there was a note saying this machine will break at a particular time, and it did not, so I'm happy. That, to me, is a win. Good evening. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this brutal day. Absolutely horrible, horrible heat in the vicinity. Here with Kyle. Kyle's back.
Hi, Emmanuel. I made it back.
You made it back? Kyle, you flew all the way in just for tonight's Starbucks round of 16 that we're going into. Is that... Do I have that right? That's
more or less accurate. I'm pretty excited about it.
I mean, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm more excited by people's reaction than the actual event itself. As I watch the people setting up inside for yet another fun-filled dancers and orchestra and drummers and things like that, when I came up with the idea back, it was over a couple of years, but it finally got set up in January. I simply went to management and said, I've never been to a Starbucks. It would be kind of cool if we had a countdown, starting with every single possible Starbucks, and eliminate half of them every single week, and then pick one at random, and that one is the one I'll go to at some point. And I thought it would be just sort of, I almost didn't even tell them. I thought it would be sort of like a very low-key thing. And instead, I guess they just saw opportunity in this, and they just sort of went nuts with planning, with the press releases, publicity, and I came in to do the first one, and there were all these people around. It's radio. I don't understand why we have all this spectacular pageantry or whatever when it's radio and you can't really see most of it. Of course, it does get conveyed through the sound what's going on over here, but I got to tell you, it's so much bigger than I ever would have expected for something along these lines. I mean, at one point, I'm not sure if this was a mistake, there was a guy in a full clown outfit in there, like Bozo the Clown. And I don't know what he was even doing in there. He might have been here for a meeting down the hall or something like that. But what? we're just counting down and eliminating half of the possible Starbucks by a random computer program. And tonight we go down to 16, and it's the last one for the summer. And yeah, I saw the satellite truck outside, and that's pretty cool. I mean, but aren't there more important things for the news people to be focused on than this? I mean, I know it's a big deal, me going to my first Starbucks, and it's not going to happen until 2011. That's the other thing. The station insists that we do this slowly and drag it out over the entire year so that we don't actually do this until 2011. I don't know what's going to happen then I actually go there. I mean, is it going to be some kind of huge thousands of people being held back in barricades and free speech zones and things like that just so I walk into the first Starbucks? And what if I don't like it? What if I go into a Starbucks and I don't see anything I want? Am I going to get, chased by an angry mob or something? Do I have to be hightailed out of whatever town I wind up in? What if I'm in a foreign country? What if they don't like Starbucks where I go? It's all kinds of ways this can go horribly wrong.
I think it's good for station morale. That's why they're on board.
They
want special events. They want people to feel good about being here.
I'll tell you something, Kyle. Yeah. This has been the thing that saved station morale, because it was in the final cycle of the washing machine.
Right, the tube.
And it was about to get flushed out into the ocean.
Yeah,
and this came along, and people said, okay. All right, maybe I'll stick around just to see how this turns out before I just turn the lights off and close the door and walk away from this place, And so far, fingers crossed, knock on wood. Oh, did I break that? Hold on. Sorry, I never hit anything that hard in the station. And also, you're supposed to knock twice. Hold on. That wasn't too hard. Okay. Hopefully, it'll work. Because that's really all I want, I just want people to be happy and to get along and for us to prosper. It's not that much to ask. Was anybody in the plane talking about it?
No.
Really?
No.
But of course, you weren't listening to every conversation on the plane. There's no way you could have done that.
No. You know, and come to think of it, I didn't do it much justice. I ought to have brought it up to some of the
No, you should not. Don't bring it up. Let's listen to what people are saying naturally. That's what I do.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of forced. So.
When I'm walking around in the supermarket, I stroll casually up and down the aisles for a few hours and listen to what people are saying. And oftentimes I hear interesting comments. Sometimes it's about me directly for some reason, and other times it's about other unrelated things. It's a wacky world out there. They're almost set up in there. And, of course, like I said, tonight is a big night because we're going into the round of 16. Now, just so people don't get confused, I'm not referring to the round of 16 that the World Cup thing was doing where they were eliminated into 16 teams. And no, we're going into 16 potential Starbucks. Right now, if you go to thefirststarbucks.com, you'll see there's 32 cities on there around the world. And tonight it goes into 16. That's it. That's the 16 for the summer. And we're going to resume this at some point in the fall, because apparently you can't do this over the summer. That's a state university regulation of some sort. You can't have lots drawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it started off, actually. When they were building Stony Brook with all the construction, there was opposition to having lots paved over the summer, like because we had so many parking lots. Mm-hmm. So through some kind of mix-up or bureaucracy or somebody looking at the blueprints backwards or something like that, that turned into lots, anything being done with lots. So you can't pave lots, you cannot draw lots either. Anything involving lots cannot happen over the summer. So we have to wait for the semester to start again before we can draw another lot.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. And I think they're stretching it that we can even do it in July. I don't think technically we're supposed to even be drawing a lot in July.
Well, again, I think they're on board, and a lot of the visiting students, I saw some of the posters they had for mm-hmm. you. They're pretty excited. I don't even know what's going to happen when it's actually announced.
I got a thumbs up from the new president. Gave me a thumbs up. I think it was him. I was passing somebody really fast on Route 25A the other day, and it looked like him. He just gave me the thumbs up out the window.
Yeah.
And it's good to know there's support out there. I'm not exactly sure, how to do this right or how I could possibly screw it up because it's all computer, As long as somebody doesn't get kicked in the face again,
right.
I think we'll be all right. And even if somebody does get kicked in the face again, that's the kind of thing that happens. But enough about this. They're still setting up a couple minutes away. What have you been up to? We haven't seen you in about a month and a half, I think.
Oh, yikes.
In the studio, that is. Yeah, I mean, people have heard your voice. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago that we did the first of the Bosnia shows where we were on the bus.
Yeah, I heard those.
Yeah,
I caught a couple of those, and it's really cool to listen to our conversations about it. It worked. It was really good.
Remember sitting in the back of that bus, watching carefully our seats to make sure that lady wasn't going to sit in them, and just sort of talking about our first impressions of Bosnia as they were unfolding in front of us. Wow, look at that cop there. That's kind of a strange sight there. And look, there's a mountain with snow on top of it. And we hadn't yet gotten to the city of Mostar. We were talking about going to Mostar. And, we weren't recording when we went through that city. And
oh,
I
remember
it. We only make,
so late,
we only make
dark.
Fleeting reference to it in future shows. So why don't we talk about that right now? Because after the bus continued on a little further, we passed a very historic city. We talked about the bridge being destroyed during the war. And
do you remember when we stopped? The bus stopped and let everybody off for a break, and we had a salad.
Yes, very nice salad.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was like a small riverside restaurant.
And they took euros, fortunately.
Absolutely. They had the flags of every nation, so they were very used to tourists. So we stopped there. It's probably like 8, 9, 10 at night. I don't know what time. It was dark, though.
It wasn't that late. It was about maybe 8 at night, because we got to Sarajevo at about 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's when we started heading in towards Mostar. And Mostar was very, very bizarre.
Mostar came after that?
It was soon after that. I mean, it was right before we got into Sarajevo. It's the town right outside of it. It's
a couple hours away.
Well, no. Yeah, we had... I'm sorry. Not distance-wise, mm-hmm. but, it was the very next part of that bus ride.
Yes.
And I remember going in and seeing the buildings. And in Mostar, it's actually quite a bit more run down or bombed out, however you want to describe it. But it's... not like Sarajevo in that it's been rebuilt or there's just a little bit of damage. Mostar had quite a bit more as far as completely demolished buildings.
That was our first look at a real city. And yeah, it was Sarajevo did not match this in terms of how many buildings were just utterly shells. Just
lines of bullets and little indents and, you know, chips taken out of things. Yeah, yeah, right?
It was something. It was something to see. And very sobering, because we didn't know if Sarajevo was going to be similar to that. It turns out to be a much more lively and rebuilt city.
And I distinctly remember feeling the tension, even though it's been, you know, what, 10 years? A mm-hmm. decade or more, you know? I felt the tension because of the research we had done and kind of the background and the ongoing learning during the trip. And I remember it was dark, and I felt that tension, even though it was, like, completely imagined. You know, but this is like a new area, and if all you know is from, you know, sort of historical movies of sort of the darker part of recent history, it kind of goes with you as your first impression, especially with the visual aid of you know, these enormously strong concrete buildings being so damaged and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So it was a stark memory, you know, memory for me.
We didn't get off in Mostar, but we stayed on the bus and looked at what was happening in front of us, and it was very sobering, very, very sobering indeed, and but important that we did that. And we have the next chapter in that saga coming up at some point in the next couple of weeks, I believe. And we're also here for hope. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, you asked what I've been doing. I've just been sort of getting things organized so that I could travel again. I wanted to come out. Hope is coming up, and I'm here for that. And, you know, just sort of, I did get a lot of the photography developed while I was home.
Yeah, people want to know how your pictures came out.
Yeah, yeah. I successfully was able to develop all of the film, and none of it was damaged in any way. And interestingly enough, even the film that had been x-rayed twice, actually three times, did not get damaged, which is kind of funny because we were so concerned about the high-speed film getting damaged. Turns out it's pretty resilient, even, and this is the low-level x-rays that check carry-on bags. From what I developed, I didn't see any fogging or anything like that. So it's pretty resilient stuff. I'm glad I didn't x-ray any of it. Just, you know, for quality as far as artistic stuff. But that was an interesting realization after I finished all the development. But so everything's safe, and I'm about halfway through scanning all of the medium format negatives so that I can have digital archives. It's also a quicker way to get positive images of all of it. And I'm also working on getting a small website up to exhibit some of it online and sort of have my own gallery in the web environment. So that's it. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing, getting ready to come back out here, and here I am, safe and sound. So.
And you're here for Hope, and that will be in just about a week and a half.
I'm thrilled. I'm so excited.
I am petrified. But yeah, it'll work out. It'll be fine.
Oh, it's going to be the best yet.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay. I'm speaking into that. I am absolutely convinced.
We'll just tell ourselves that. And yeah, no, nobody can take that away from us anyway. So yeah, you don't know about the Hope Conference, www.hope.net. That's the Hackers on Planet Earth Conference taking place in New York City. Hopefully it won't be this hot. You know, if it's this hot now, and it's literally today was about 103 degrees and humid, if it's like this now, it's probably not going to be like this then. Not that it matters, because we'll be inside the hotel most of the time anyway. But if you're thinking about coming to New York, the population is being weeded out today, but there should be more space for you to come in. It's really, we drove today. We drove from the city out to the island, and oh my God, my car does not have air conditioning, and it's 17 years old, and it's something to do that. It really is.
It was midday. It was 1 o'clock or so. Midday, right? Yeah, we were in the thick of it. The hottest point of the day.
And they do stupid things like close the road for no reason. You know, you have a 4-lane highway that becomes a 2-lane highway because some nimrod somewhere decides that he wants to see a nice cone display, and all the cones are doing are protecting the other cones. I don't know what they're doing exactly, but they're not doing any work, and there's no reason for this at all. That just causes a huge traffic jam and causes me to get very overheated because I don't have air conditioning.
Yeah,
you know,
you seem like it was taxing for both of us. I think
even now I'm breaking a sweat just talking about it because it's and people's tempers really do get a little short.
Well, I just, you know, the amount of water we were drinking when we got back, it was just indicative of just how hot and
wow. But no need to get into that. There's no. But really, this kind of thing doesn't happen very often here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here, despite the heat. And I will say one more thing about Hope.
Yes.
Recently, all of the talks were released.
Yes, yes.
And I went through and looked at all of them. There isn't one I am not absolutely enthralled and, like, just on the edge of my seat to see. I want to see all of them.
Well, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because that means that you feel that way about your talk.
I am giving a talk, aren't I?
Because if you said it was all except one that I have no enthusiasm at all about, that would worry me. But yeah, you're giving a talk. Maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow on Off the Hook. We have a two-hour edition of Off the Hook tomorrow. But you're giving a talk on the Telephone Pioneers of America, which are not the people with machetes and people who cut through forests and things like that, and Daniel Boone and all that. No, these are actual phone company workers from the... what period of time would you say?
These are...
When was the
generally
first?
Telephone Pioneers of America were started in 1911.
Okay.
I'm thinking some of the people that were around then are probably not around. But of course, the guys that I interact with, they're basically guys who have been with a company, any sort of telecommunications company. It's not a specific company. It started out with Bell employees, but any telecommunications worker who's been an employee for longer than 25 years is eligible to be a Telephone Pioneer of America, and it's basically sort of a social organization for people that work in the telecommunications industry. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be talking all about it and the kinds of projects they do, because there's a lot of parallels between them and the hacking community, and I want to sort of bridge that and inspire some of the younger people to get involved and hang around some of these older cats that know how this stuff works and they want to teach it.
They're not all 95 years old, and some of them are. They're really cool to hang out with anyway.
Yeah, actually, you'd be surprised. The telecommunications workers. There's a 92-year-old guy named Andy who he still climbs up the ladder and
I thought you were going to say climbs up telephone poles.
No, there's ladders in the central offices. Uh-huh. And
why does he climb them?
Well, we have a museum that's one of the projects our local pioneer group maintains, and this museum has working switches. So.
Your microphone just cut out for some reason. Keep talking.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, your microphone's totally dead. Wow, how about that? How'd that... Go ahead, try now.
Test.
Okay, I'm sorry, the switch is bad.
Yeah, so...
I wasn't even near it this time, it just went out on its own.
It must be the heat.
Yeah, let's blame the heat for the condition of this place. All right, fine.
Okay, so I'm coming through. Yeah, so I'm going to be talking more about, you know, some of the projects that they do, and... I will say the talks are not the only thing that goes on at this conference, so I'm looking forward to it, and I can't
wait.
By
no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what's going on and share about the stuff that I've seen with the pioneers and hear what other people have to say as far as talks go.
So. Absolutely. So more information, go to www.hope.net. And it's not too late to pre-register for it, but it will be pretty soon, and that's at the nice discounted rate. But the full schedule, as Kyle says, is on there, and you can get a good sense as to all the other activities that we're involved in as well. And of course, we need as many volunteers as possible. We like to think everybody who comes to the conference is a volunteer in some way, and whether it's helping clean up a bit or just helping out your fellow attendees and just making it a more pleasant environment for everybody. That's always the best part of the whole thing is seeing that unfold, seeing that happen.
That's the real magic of these types of events. It's in the spirit of... Oh, my God. Sorry, I just hit the mic.
Let's not fight with the microphone.
Yikes. it's in the spirit of some of the European conferences, that volunteerism and sharing in the work to put it on, and it makes it smoother, and it makes it a really magical experience. So.
All right, I'm getting an evil eye from the main dancer there, so I think she's ready to go. And are the musician, everybody's ready this
gosh.
Time?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. What are they wearing this week?
It kind of scared me. Her face is pressed right up to the window there, and rather imposing too.
That's amazing. Okay,
6'2" at least. The point is, we're ready to go with the quest for Starbucks final edition, the round of 16 that we will leave it with for the summertime. All right.
Is there going to be enough?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There's enough room.
Let it go. I wouldn't want to wear that outside. That long flowing cape.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, it's nice the way it
It does move the way she's dancing.
It's probably cooling down the room, too.
Yeah, airflow. Yeah.
The airflow, because she's twirling the way she's... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize the mic's running. Look at that. Wow. I mean, you saw it before, but it's really, it never gets old.
And they're still holding the pose. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can sit down while I do the talking. You don't have to
That's
sit
amazing.
Down.
They just,
it is funny.
That's cool.
They got a good sense of humor.
What
in
a
there.
Good finish.
Yeah. I want you to look at this, Kyle, the screen here on the computer, because that's from the first Starbucks.com right now. And that's the 32 that we have. On I expect you to press your face that close to the screen, but yeah, it's
okay.
You can see there's 32 cities on there. Are there any particular that interest you?
Bellingham, Washington, and Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
There's two from Washington State. That's where I'm from.
All right, so maybe
we'll
wind up going out there.
The Northwest is well represented.
Okay,
lots of California.
Uh huh.
That's probably to be expected.
Uh huh.
I see Florida. Florida, I see Paris, Philippines, Toronto. Where else do we have?
I see that Philippines one and Switzerland. Switzerland
Dubai.
Would be nice. Be nice
UAE.
And cool now. That would be nice and hot. Dubai would be very hot.
Yeah, we'd have to schedule that probably towards the winter.
I'm told 50 degrees Celsius, and I can't even conceive of that.
Ooh, Guadalajara.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, Guadalajara, Mexico, for some reason, there were a whole lot of them there. At one point in the recent weeks, there were three separate Guadalajara Starbucks that I could have gone to. But now it's down to one. And when we do the drawing in just a moment. And I like how, you see, everybody's like relaxed now. It's no running for the 7 o'clock train. They're taking the later train this time because I guess this is the last one for the summer. So everyone's a bit more relaxed. And it's good. It's better this way, isn't it? Yeah, all this rushing around and tripping over people. It's much better.
I think the heat's doing it.
Yeah, well, people need to rest as well. So that's a 32, and we're about as soon as Joey hits the drums there. And you know, I got to say, let's let him do the drum roll, and then we'll do the drawing, the casting of lots, so to say. And he's off. All right, and just like that, we have pressed the button, and we are now down to 16. In a moment, I'll have the 16 in front of me. But Joey's out for the summer as well. I was just told this before we started today that he's actually gotten a gig as the drummer for the Heartbreaker tribute band.
Oh, so it's this last summer. Night. This is last night
for the summer. But he's doing some kind of road trip for the Heartbreaker. Tribute.
Yeah. Now, this is off the injury, right? No.
No, he's fine. I don't know if you caught it a few weeks ago, but he really went on a rampage with the drums. He's much better. And I think maybe they heard that.
So he's with this tribute band.
Well, that's the thing. I was on the internet during the intro, and you can see, I looked up Heartbreaker, and the thing is, they're the tribute. Heartbreaker's a tribute band for Led Zeppelin, but apparently Heartbreaker themselves have a tribute band. There's a tribute band
I understand.
A tribute band.
Got it.
And he's going to be on the... I don't know how it works.
He's playing with them or opening?
He's the drummer for the Heartbreaker
tribute band.
Not Got Heartbreaker.
It. Okay.
But they're attributing them.
Got
who
it.
Are the tribute band for Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Who are nobody's tribute band.
It's a little counterintuitive, but yeah.
It is a little count, but you know, all due respect, it sounds like a great gig, and I think he's going to do really well. I just make sure that you know he's not the drum. It's not actually a machine or anything like that, because that happened once before where he thought it was getting a gig, and it was actually a drum machine.
Ooh,
yeah, it was like a drum machine operator was what they were looking for.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, programming. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, he likes the live stuff, and he needs the exposure. You know, it's.
Well, he's not going to get better exposure than he gets on these airwaves. That's for sure. Because,
if he's going to be off, you know, for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's just good to get
exposure. Well, that's pretty close to this.
It's good just to travel around. You know, maybe he can even scope out some of the Starbucks if he winds up in some of the same cities that we're going to be going to.
All right.
But we're only going to one place, actually, but we'll see. We'll see what it actually turns out to be. Okay, so I have on the screen the new round of 16. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going... Well, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to put on our website a little later on tonight the actual addresses of these places, because now it's down to 16. Now it gets interesting. So you can actually focus on the particular Starbucks at those particular addresses, and now we know precisely what it is we're talking about. And maybe...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe people know those particular Starbucks. They know when the exterminator was there or something like that, or when it was built, or maybe they work there themselves. They can send us a picture of the place. Maybe they can tell something about their town. Over the last, or the next few weeks, couple of months, whatever... We're going to start focusing on some of these places and sort of doing a little bit of a documentary so that we know something about the places where we could possibly wind up going.
I'm pretty excited about this.
I'm very excited. In fact, the station was so excited that we have a whole brand new effect to announce all 16 of these particular cities. Now, as you can see... What I'm going to just go down the list 1 through 16. It's in no particular order.
Okay.
But the ones you were interested in, we'll see if they're on that list. And I hope they are. I certainly
Absolutely.
Do hope they are.
No, I'm interested.
All right. So here is our brand new sound effect, I guess, for to introduce the first one of 16. Well, that to me sounded like an explosion, a violent explosion. That's our sound effect. I hope it's a sound effect. It's not actually a violent explosion.
You're dropping the bomb? Is that what's going on?
I guess. Yeah. All right, fine. Well, okay, so I'm sorry. I'm supposed to follow that up with number... Should I go 1 through 16 or 16 through 1? I guess I read up.
Down. Yeah, I would read up.
That's how Letterman would do it, right? They go, the top 10 starts with 10, winds up with 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of hard to do, but I'll read backwards. Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
All right, did that work? Denver, Colorado. Okay. Number 15. Luzern, Switzerland.
Awesome.
It's not ready yet. Okay. All right. It didn't work. All right, I don't know why it didn't. There we go. It's not my fault. Number 14 is Rancho Cordova, California.
Okay.
Do you know anything about that? You know anything about any of these places?
Okay, not really.
All right.
Sorry, I know Denver, but...
All right. Number 13, Toronto, Ontario.
Swell.
In Canada.
Yeah, that's good.
We were just watching television a little bit and seeing the World Cup aftermath. And in Toronto, it's such a diverse, mixed city with all kinds of ethnicities, and there's always a group of people celebrating whatever country it is that happens to win. And that's something that's kind of cool. I would like to go to Toronto. I've been to Toronto. I'd like to go there again.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that piece because it gave a great, great, you know, explained it really well, showed the different neighborhoods and stuff.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay, I'm sorry, giving the hurry-up signal.
Yeah.
Okay, slow down, cowboy. Number 12. a little itchy trigger finger there. Newport Beach, California. Okay, so we got another California there. You know, I all these places in California, I don't know it very well. I mean, I've been to the big cities. I don't know Newport Beach. I don't know Rancho Cordova.
I don't know California well. You know.
Yeah. So, okay, so we've listed five already. And I know there's people on the edge of their seats here in the 32 cities that we were potentially going to, seeing if they've made it through to the final 16. So we have Denver, Luzern, Switzerland, Rancho Cordova, California, Toronto, Canada, and Newport Beach, California. So of the five so far, we have two foreign countries. And I don't, that's kind of strange because I don't think numerically that stands up. I think there's only about 2,000 Starbucks per, and there's like something like 13,000 in the U.S. I don't know. There's a lot more in the U.S. So odds are we're going to the U.S. somewhere. Okay, number 11. Oklahoma City. Oklahoma. Was it in bad taste to have an explosion sounding when I said Oklahoma City?
Actually,
too soon for that.
People might take offense. Well, it was a while ago.
All right,
ago,
write your letters to our computer for randomizing it this way and making it that. So these things happen. Sorry.
There was no intent to offend.
I don't know who picked the explosion as the sound effect here, but that's just the way it is. Number 10. Hong Kong, China. Hong Kong, China. I've never been to Hong Kong. I've been to China, but never Hong Kong. And that's still on the list.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So
wait,
yeah.
Are you sure you're on 10?
Yeah, okay. Because 11 was Oklahoma City.
Remember, okay, got it. All right, sorry, I'm getting ahead. All right. Losing track, sir.
All right. Number nine, Redlands, California.
California.
I think, you know, that sort of stands to reason because there are so many in California that odds are probably strong. And I've seen this. The odds makers and Lloyd's of London and all these places are basically betting on California being the final, or at least within the final couple. Certainly in the final, whenever that happens to be, probably
pretty,
the end of the
pretty
year.
Pretty hard to avoid. We'll see.
It seems that way, and if that's where my destiny takes me, then that's where I will go. Number 8. Sherwood, Oregon.
Nice. Yeah. Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon.
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 Really? That's how people say it there? You're from Washington, so maybe I should listen to you, because
well,
you're right next
Washington,
to
Washington, and
Oregon.
There's Oregon, and there's California, and Idaho, and...
How do you say the state that St. Louis is a city in?
St. Louis... Wait a minute.
M-I-S-S-O-U-R-I.
Missouri.
Say it again.
Missouri,
okay. There are people who say Missouri. You know that. You've seen this.
Missouri.
They say Missouri for Missouri. And it ends in an I. And I just want to shake them and say, what's going on inside that head of yours where you say Missouri? Why would you say that? There's an I there. How do you say I?
Missouri.
When you talk, do you say, I am going to the... I guess I do say, I'm going to the store. Well, that's Southern, though, isn't it?
I'm going to the store.
No. You know, it's not an A. It's not an A sound. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
Oregon, I can see that.
I know what you're saying. I was just trying to think, you know, Missouri.
And they don't say Hawaii. They don't say say Hawaii. They don't say Hawaii, but they say Missouri.
They say Hawaii?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Oregon.
Yeah. Sherwood, Oregon. We'll have much more to talk about if we wind up going there as the final one. All right, number 7. Oh, my goodness. You know why I'm so surprised?
Why?
Because it's in St. Peter's, and you know where St. Peter's is? Missouri.
Oh, Missouri.
I'll be cow-kicked. Wow, how about that?
Well done.
Oh, number 6, right on the tail. Number 7, Roseville, also in California.
More California?
You see what's happening here?
Are you kidding?
California's got the big advantage.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
okay. We're waiting for the sound effect to queue up. And there it is. Number 5, Chicago, Illinois.
Cool.
Now, you spent some time in Chicago.
Yeah, I spent 2 years in Chicago.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We're only down to 4 more. And I have not seen Seattle or, what was the other one?
Bellingham.
Bellingham? All right. The British would say Bellingham, though.
Germany?
No. No, I don't know how Bieber would
Bellingham.
Say
Bellingham.
We don't speak like that in this country. Okay, so yeah, Chicago is number 5. So we only have 4 left, Kyle. We only have 4 left.
Okay, I'm
so
ready.
I hope Washington is one of them. I really do.
I'm going to be ecstatic if one is in Washington.
But still got Oregon is in there.
I don't want to slow things down.
All right. And that was the sound of number 4. Number 4. Do you know what number 4 is, Kyle?
What's number 4?
Number 4 is not Seattle. Dubai, United Arab Emirates, where it's 50 degrees Celsius.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I mean,
send
Dubai,
me there.
UAE.
Yeah, I'm glad Dubai is still in the running.
You've never gone, right?
I've never gone to Dubai. I've never gone there. Amazing. Okay, so we're down to 3. Only 3 left.
All right.
Number 3 in the final 16. Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. Yes, another Canada.
Oh, boy.
So we have Toronto, and we have Edmonton. A lot of international, I gotta say. I'm a little...
No, that's a great mix.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It is. All right, down to the final 2. Are you ready for this? Are you really ready?
I'm ready.
You look a little pale.
I'm anticipating. I'm ready for anything. I'm open to it.
All right.
Just lay it on me.
And thanks everybody in there for waiting, being so patient. I know we've dragged our asses on this.
I
think it's air conditioned in that room, which is why everybody's so relaxed. And you're not supposed to. No.
But they are kind of fanning themselves.
But they've got a cigar, and they. No, you're not supposed to light that. Yeah. You're not supposed to light the cigar. Okay. So you can hold it, but just don't light it. Oh, she's a lot of fun. okay, we're down to the last two before we find out what the final 16 are in the quest for Starbucks. And I guess I can very quickly go through the ones we have. Denver, Luzerne, Rancho Cordova, Toronto, Newport Beach, Oklahoma City, Hong Kong, Redlands, Sherwood, St. Peter's, Roseville, Chicago, and Dubai, and Edmonton. Okay, here we are, number two.
Yes.
Kind of anticlimactic to say.
What is it?
College Park, Maryland.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about that place. Is there a college? I hope there's a college. I hope there's a park. It would be nice if one of those things. I hate when towns lie about their name, like Shoreville or something like that, and it's in the middle of the country and it's not near a shore of anything.
I think there's a college park.
Or Pleasantville, where everybody's got a chip on their shoulder and things like that.
Where is this?
College Park is in Maryland.
I think there's one in Georgia, too.
There's probably a lot of college parks.
Yeah.
There really is.
But Maryland. Okay.
All right. So this is it. The final. The final of the 16. Final one of the 16. Number one.
Wait. If this is Seattle, can I scream?
Yeah.
Can I jump up and down?
All right. But don't hit the microphone.
No, I won't
and don't
scream
directly.
I won't scream.
Don't scream. Scream off mic like,
no.
So that your voice sort of glances like.
No.
You see the mic right there?
Yeah.
Just not right into it like that.
No. I won't scream. But I mean, I think it's going to be Washington somewhere. All right.
Somewhere in the state of Washington.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
It's gotta be.
Number one. Kyle, do you know where the final Starbucks is? The final of the group of 16?
Come on, number one.
Number one is San Diego, California. Yeah. Chew on that. Washington is eliminated. Washington,
you know,
will not be my first Starbucks. And I'm sad about that because that's where Starbucks came from. I won't be walking into Starbucks for the first time in Washington State. That will not happen.
You're missing out. There's Starbucks headquarters.
It's not
the
me.
The first Starbucks at the market.
The one that made this happen. All right. This is totally the computer. So all your cards and letters.
There's you could even take a side trip to see a tour of the bikini baristas, right?
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's a phenomena, and you're going to miss it because you don't come to Seattle.
I didn't say I wouldn't come to Seattle. I'll go to Seattle, but I won't be walking through Starbucks for the first.
I'll go
to a Starbucks in Seattle after I go to the first one, which is one of these 16.
All right.
And I'm being told that I should read all the ones again, including states. So apparently, I didn't read the states last time. It confused some people. People call because I left off the state for Roseville or something. Get lives. I don't mean that. Don't get lives. I'm not trying to be offensive. No, keep your current sedentary non-life existence because love you that
way. Well, keep things accurate. You know, they're looking out for
you. No, I understand.
The devil's in the details.
So. All right. Denver, Colorado, Luzerne, Switzerland. These are the final 16. The final 16 Starbucks. And we'll continue to do the elimination in the fall. I want to thank everybody for participating so far during this year. Denver, Colorado, Luzerne, Switzerland, Ranchero Cordova, California, Toronto, Ontario in Canada, Newport Beach, California, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Hong Kong in China, Redlands, California, Sherwood, Oregon, St. Peter's, Missouri, Roseville, California, Chicago, Illinois, Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, Edmonton, Alberta in Canada, College Park, Maryland, and San Diego, California. And those are the cities. Those are the final 16. We've come a long way. We've come from over 10,000 names to this, to the final 16. Now, if you're in one of those places, please, we want to hear from you. Write to us. And
yeah, I really think that it would be great to get feedback from some of these places. And as you said, get some background. You said you're going to put up the addresses. I mean, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down to it.
The addresses will be up on the first Starbucks.
What if there was even Starbucks rivalries going? Right? Like different towns were aware of other towns and they're, you know, getting ready you know, maybe there could, you know, be some competition or something like that. I mean, I could imagine, you know,
but
each location is going to get pretty excited.
But here's the thing. Yes, I understand that, and you can campaign.
They're going to want to be in the running still.
But you have to understand, it's a computer that decides. We don't decide. You can send us all kinds of things, complimentary coupons maybe, or
tips on travel or how to find it, you know, just that
or
kind of stuff.
Cash tips or anything, no.
Or, okay, I'm not yeah, to,
no,
or
no,
your
hold on.
Tips.
It's very serious looking there.
No,
I'm not supposed to do that. Okay, no, that was just a joke. Send us anything if you want us, if you think that would be a better place for us to go, and we'll refer to it on the air. But we can't decide based on however many thousands of whatever you send us that we're going to go there. We can accept that, but we can't use that to make our decision.
Right, it's out of your control, yeah. Honestly, and that keeps it fair in honesty.
But yeah, at some point tonight, the addresses will be up there, so you can see exactly which ones we're looking at going to, and have the summer to debate it and think about leaving town or whatever it is that people choose to react to this doing.
I think there's going to be some more excitement as this continues. So.
Yes, well, there's definitely excitement now as the dancers are standing up again and they're ready to go. So let's have the final send off as we all go out. Enjoy our summer, Joey, with his with the Heartbreaker tribute thing and dancers. I believe they're going overseas, which is awesome. I hope to get some pictures. And they're there. They're off. All right. A nice leisurely walk across the athletic fields to get to the station, get the later train. It's really hot out there.
There's no reason to hustle.
No, I'm just saying that usually they're the ones busting out of here. But not this time. Yeah, it's good to take it slow in a day like this. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a joy and a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you in the autumn. And wow. We're going to try to take some phone calls. Actually, Kyle, can you press that button there? It's over there on the... See the red light that says... Yeah, that one. Press that button. Oh, no, actually, press the one that has a button next to it. Okay, that one. The one that says bypass. Press that. Okay, great. I think that makes the delay system work. Now, our phone number is 631-632... I've forgotten the phone number. 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. That's how you remember it. It's the call letters of the radio station. Yes, so if you have anything to say, if you want to talk about this or any world events or just anything that's on your mind, World Cup, for instance. We watched the game today, and if you don't want to hear the score, tune away because we were watching this sort of in the background. And it's really kind of cool. I mean, who do you like? There are four teams as of today. Now there's only three because Holland played Uruguay.
Well, Emmanuel, I've got my orange shirt on.
And you've been wearing this orange shirt. You claim it has nothing to do with Holland. But everybody in Holland right now is wearing orange and jumping around because, yes, they won. They defeated Uruguay. You know what? It's fine with me that they defeated Uruguay. I think Uruguay cheated. Yes, I think they did when they were playing Ghana. And this is what happened. In the last few seconds of the game, one of the players stuck up his hand to keep the ball from going in the goal. And that's illegal. It's not in jail, but it's against the rules. And by doing that, he gets kicked out of the game, and he misses the game after that. And the other team gets to take a penalty kick with nobody blocking the kick except for the goalie. And they should have won the game based on that kick. Instead, they missed, and then they went into overtime and penalty kicks, and Ghana eventually lost. And this guy is now going around bragging about how he was able to stop the goal from going in with his hand. It was deliberate. It was cheating, unsportsmanlike, and that's why I lost respect for Uruguay at that point. Not the country, just the team at that point. So, the Netherlands, who have never won the World Cup, won today. So now they go to the final on Sunday. Uruguay gets to play in the on Saturday in the third-place game. Yeah, that's what they have in the World Cup. We don't have that in our sports, where you lose the semifinal, you still get to play the other loser of the semifinal to determine third place.
Didn't Netherlands get somewhere in 1978, though? Wasn't there a milestone? Did they get into the semifinals or something?
I think the only place they've been to is the finals. They've never won. They've never won.
Got it. Okay.
Germany, the last time they won, I think, was sometime in the 70s.
Okay.
Uruguay wasn't until maybe the 50s or the 40s that they won the last time. And the other team is Spain. And Spain, I believe, have never won as well. So Spain is playing Germany tomorrow. I've been saying since the quarterfinals, it looks like it's heading for a Netherlands-Germany final.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah. And I'm rooting for Holland. So.
Now, tomorrow, we might be in the city. Maybe we'll go to the German place. Maybe we'll go to a Spanish place and see the game at 2:30. It's really cool to do that, to just go inside a place and be with all these enthusiastic people that are rooting for a team far away. And I was in a room packed with Germans. I was in a room packed with Serbs. And I got to say something. The Serbians, they got eliminated in the first round, unfortunately. But they did beat Germany. And if Germany go on to win this thing, they will be the only team in the entire competition to have beaten them. So that's something to be proud of.
That says something.
You were mentioning before the show how in your day-to-day life, these countries just keep popping up that you've been to.
Absolutely, yeah. It's sort of interesting. I do my best and have explained a lot of my trip to people, and I'm really glad that I didn't make excuses, and I took it on as a challenge, and reallocated, shuffled some things around. I think a lot of people are doing that in this economy, but I made it happen, and you made it happen, and despite volcanoes and thunder and brimstone and all of that. So explaining it to people has been really, fun. You get about 2 minutes to get someone, to explain exactly what you've done, and people, that's the attention span of our society, unfortunately. And
you gotta get their attention.
Exactly. I've said a lot of really cool stuff, and I'm still finding ways to really do good by the hospitality we experienced out there, and I will continue to do that. But I bumped into just so many it comes up in conversation. All of a sudden, we're talking about Serbia, or another. The other day, someone was talking about Albania, and I was like, I was just there.
Who was talking about Albania? What do they have to say about Albania?
My friend Ashok.
Uh-huh.
Who runs a bike shop. He's a bicycle mechanic, and we were talking about
Why did he bring up Albania?
It was over dinner. I can't exactly remember the context of it, but we started talking about...
Since the 1980s, I've been keeping track on people who bring up Albania. I need to know what it is.
In conversation.
What their interest is.
Okay,
It's just, call it a quirk. I do report these things to Albania. But I just would like to know, all of a sudden Albania comes up. It's
sure.
It's a little strange, Kyle, a little strange.
Sure. Or, Croatia, all of them. I mean, they've just come up, and there's been cool things.
Speaking of a little strange, Spiny Norman is in the doorway.
And, yes, he is.
Yes. The dancers are, I think he's sweet on one of the dancers, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
He's checking her out. Well, she was kind of eyeing him.
It was Bertha.
Bertha.
I think that's Bertha, yeah.
Yeah. She's got it going.
Is that her mother? I'm not sure. The older woman who's here, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they're both... I'm not sure.
She was, supporting. She wasn't actually dancing, though, was she?
No. Yeah. But she was one of the finest dancers, I understand, from back in the day.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, back in the country. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But, so these things do come up in our day-to-day lives.
And you notice it? It's like, had I gone on this trip, would I notice this stuff? But all of a sudden, I'm learning about this part of the world, and now, as I've been back, it comes up in conversation. Serbia here, there, and the other. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, even in the World Cup, I know exactly what this country's about, who these people are, and so it's really cool.
We saw a piece on CBC a couple of days ago about how this guy was walking through Toronto, interviewing people from all different ethnicities, talking about the World Cup and saying, it's not about the sport, it's not about football, it's about cultures coming together, learning about each other. That's what I try to explain to my friends who don't get the sports thing. It's not about the sports, it's not about organized sports, which are usually kind of dumb super behind your team for no apparent reason and not wanting to know anything about the other team. In the World Cup, it's different.
And this wasn't the piece about the neighborhoods in Toronto. This was a different story?
No, this was that piece.
Oh, that piece.
At one point, he said that it wasn't about the football.
Well, that's what made it good, is he was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing people together, and the, you know, people just, they were interviewed, and she's like, I can't go to work today. You know, I got to root for my team.
Yeah.
And they brought in a little TV one day, and it progressed, and all of a sudden, you know, 4 days in, it's like a projector on the side of a wall.
I think, yeah, they were talking about the Korean team.
That's what it was.
How the very first day, this reporter was looking for Korean fans, and about a dozen of them looking at a small TV, then the next day, it was a whole bunch of people with a bigger screen, and the third day, there was, I think, 1,000 people.
And they're out in the street.
With a wall of... Yeah, I don't know how these things happen, but the enthusiasm is really incredible. And it's good-natured enthusiasm, too. And it's a way to channel energy in a positive manner. And you learn a lot. You really do.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some overreactions. It's kind of weird because Nigeria is one of the teams that didn't do as well as they had hoped. And their government's reaction was to suspend the entire team from playing international competition for 2 years. And, of course, this goes against the International Football Federation, FIFA, their regulations. But I just thought it was funny what they said to them. Nigerian government is saying they're going to suspend the team and keep them from playing international matches for 2 years. FIFA says that's against the rules. If you don't reverse that, we're going to suspend the team from playing international matches. Which is the exact same thing,
I
don't understand what's going to be gained from this. But apparently, that threat worked. And
that sounds like either side's getting their way, right?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, man.
Italy people were hurling all kinds of invectives at their team when they got off the plane. Only about 100 people showed up to even see that. France, of course, there's all kinds of shame in the streets there. USA did well. I think USA did okay. Oh, wow. I made a little rhyme. That was something to see. They won me over. You know what? We're out of time because we have a 6-minute outro, and it's about oil.
Yeah, I heard they hired a whale in the Gulf. They're gonna have a whale float around, and it'll swim here, swim there, and it'll gulp, eat up all the oil, and then.
Yeah, they name a boat after one of the species that's being decimated by this horrible oil spill, and the fact that we're just. It's normal now. This
what
is normal
it? Day
life.
150.
We should do something special for like day 200 or something
exactly.
Like that. Exactly. All right, this song came out in the 70s. There's an updated version now, but it kind of sucks. This is the good version. All about oil and spillage and things like that. We'll see you next week. LTW at 2600.com. Good night.
Night.
Gone dead, cried the men who were there, and ship passed up the dock on the wide Delaware. Then the ship ran aground and the oil got away, and they did not report the big spill on that day. It was hundreds of thousands of gallons galore, stretching 32 miles down the Delaware shore. There were geese in the marshes out looking for food. They got stuck where they stood in the oncoming crude. And it's oil, oil. They're drifting to the sea. Oil, oil. Don't buy it at the station. You can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. In the well-charted waters of the Nantucket Shoals was a ship run aground full of oil, we were told. In a week's worth of rough winter weather and waves, the boat started cracking and it could not be saved. It was 7.6 million gallons this time. Consider the danger and think of the crime as it poured out a slick stretching into the tide. Over 100 miles, yes, it came deep, it came wide, and it's oil. Buy it. You can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. There's talk of some writing found in the ship's log, saying one of the helmsman's unfit for his job. And the ship's gyro compass was 6 degrees shy. Their charts were outdated, but they tried to get by. And you know it's oil, oil, yeah, pouring in the sea. Oil, 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 don't buy it at the station. You can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Yeah. Now both of these ships, like a great many more, got registered in through Liberian doors. Inspections are quick and regulations are few. Just sign on the line and go find you a crew, yes. One of these ships was the Olympic Games. The Argo Merchant was the other one's name. Well, it's sad, but it's true, things got worse for the seas. So I ain't even mentioned Amoco Cadiz. Amoco Cadiz, between England and France. The big super tanker out there taking its chance with his 100,000 black tons of the slime. Amoco Cadiz spilled the most of all times. Yes, you know it's oil, oil. Man, it's creeping in the sea. Now for free, just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Now down in the Gulf, east of Mexico way, there's something gone wrong, so the papers all say. A Mexican oil well is leaking its goo. They say it's the worst that things have ever come to. Yes, it's gallons of sludge, 60 million and more. It's cruising and oozing towards many a shore. Yes, things have got bad, but they'll probably get worse. If you can't drink the oil, oh, you might die of thirst. Because it's oil, it's oil, and it's creeping in the sea. Station, you can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Yeah!
Hey, kids, once again, you are tuned to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM, WUSB.FM on the internets. We're giving away some tickets tonight to the Brazil Guitar Duo this Friday night. Also, some tickets to Steve Forbert this Saturday night at Stephen Talkhouse, plus tons of other goodies, so stay tuned.
Summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who sighs his lullabies through nights that never. Fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind, warm summer wind. The summer wind,
almost makes me cry. When she found me I was freezing, and she brought me sweet July. July, July, July. Leaping over the lake, just the rest of my lifetime. That's all that I could take. Don't know where I'll be tonight, but I know there'll be a bottle involved. Cannonball into morning.